This is the Development Locker podcast, and this is your weekly investment in your development as you continue your transition through life and academy football. In season three, we bring you even more episodes, more guests who you can connect with, and even more insight into individuals like you who have a similar experiences in pursuing a career in the professional game. Over the next 11 months and 48 episodes, we aim to cover the key topics you will face along your journey. From the challenges you will have to overcome, the ups, the downs, and many experiences along the way. We will be here every week to discuss the current issues in your lives, support you in your journey, and continue your development to being the best version of you. In your interviews from the locker. What can I say about this week's guest? In her work as a transition coach, she operates at the very highest levels. Not just athletes, but also with some very high ranking organisations. In doing so, Lynn is making an impact on each individual in a positive and proactive way. And it's for these exact elements that we asked her to be a guest on the podcast. Lynn took time out of her extremely busy schedule to discuss and relate how a transition coach is someone you may well need in your support network. What Lynn offers over the next 60 minutes is nothing short of mind-blowing, in that sense of sharing a multitude of quotes, numerous experiences, and complemented with her knowledge and understanding in this often misunderstood and untapped resource. Your transition should really be starting right now. But if it hasn't, don't worry, as Lynn is about to inspire you and invigorate you into taking control of your journey towards realizing your vision of the future you. So, over to this week's guest and this week's interview from the locker. Welcome back to yet another episode of the podcast. And I think different is probably the key word for the last couple of months. And we've got something definitely different for you today. We've got Lynn, who's joining us for things around transition. As we always do, Lynn, we get straight into the questions and start off with a why. And I suppose I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because I know you'll have a very detailed answer. But why should we even care about transition and even preparing for it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question to start with. And it's actually a really big question, isn't it? So I think that the only inevitability with sport is that you will transition out of it. You know, that quote comes from David Lavelli. He's done a lot of research into this subject and pulling together a lot of information. So if I take the Professional Players Association published a report, and they looked at the experiences around that initial career transition of 800 former professionals. So they were aged between 17 and 79 from football, rugby and cricket. And from that report, it showed that over 70% of people in sport will leave in an unplanned way at a time that's not of their choosing. So not only is it inevitable, the time frame of when you transition is actually largely out of your control. So the earlier you prepare, the better your experience will be. So, why is that unplanned? So you could have your contract not being renewed. You may not be able to progress up to the next level. You could have a career-ending injury, or you find that you're overtaken by other peers or other younger people coming through. So, you know, there are a range of different mitigating circumstances where that transition will happen and you're not in control of that part of your journey. So really developing that exit plan or your transition strategy as soon as possible from the outset, it really, really is important to underpin a successful transition. So, and also there may be a bit of reticence, I guess, with some people to look beyond their their football career at the moment, because that's been their sole drive and focus. And really, that's what they want, to be that championship player, that Premier League player, that Champions League, or play for their country. So they've got these massive big dreams and aspirations. But what this report from David Lavely shows is that the engagement in sports career transition planning can actually enhance your performance. So it gives you a competitive advantage because it brings you that balance and a different perspective. So there are very many different reasons why you should care about transition.
I suppose I'm going to have a follow-up question. It's not to challenge what, because that was a beautiful answer, that one. In terms, you mentioned about early the better.
Yeah.
How is the is there a case of it being too early, or is it a thing that, you know, athletes, particularly football players for this podcast, is should they be starting today? Because what we face within the football world, and what many football players will tell you, is that they want to focus on other areas. They feel that by 1%, taking that 1% from their football, that it isn't going to be a competitive advantage. That's what they believe. And we see a lot of the time of players not necessarily engaging with some activities, workshops, actions towards their transition because they feel it's too early. Is that a case? Is there kind of a defence to that? Or is that really a true story that, you know, sometimes these young players probably not even had a professional career yet, is that too early for their transition? Or is it just a case where it's never early enough?
I think it's never early enough is the answer there. However, it's about opening their eyes to what's possible. And I know in some of your other podcasts, people have talked about getting curious, and really getting curious about yourself and what drives you is fundamentally sitting behind this. I've got an analogy for this. It's using a table. If you've got a pedestal table with one central pillar underneath it, comparing that to a table with four legs, and if your only focus in life is around that football and you're a pedestal table and you take that pillar away, what happens to the table? If you've got more interests and focus and that's taken away, you've still got a table that's standing. It's not quite as stable, but it can function and move forward as a table. So an interesting analogy, but what I'm trying to say is it broadens your horizons. And I think, you know, you posted on LinkedIn where you've brought other players into talk to your young academy players. And I think that's so vital about demonstrating that it is possible to have this successful transition, and about opening their eyes up to actually, the earlier they get curious about what really drives them, they can start mapping out their plan and having that idea that actually there is life beyond football, and actually there are other sports people that have said. So if I take Una Cousins from rowing, and she has an article on Switch the Play, and she said, having stuff outside of sport gives perspective. It enables me to ride those highs and lows and gives the resilience you inevitably need in sport, as no one has a smooth ride. So I think it's about that perspective. Leon Lloyd, who's also with Switch to Play, he's from Rugby World, he was talking about that you may not be in control of actually when you stop, as I've talked about already. So finding what you want to do and what you don't want to do whilst you're playing is really helpful. So when that final day comes, you can make that drop, that cliff edge, far less severe because you've got a plan forward of things that drive you and fill you up.
That's great. And in terms of, obviously, you're a transition coach by title, and obviously through the work that you do, coaching for those who don't fully know what that term means, it's not obviously related to a football coach, give us a bit of context around what a transition coach is, what they do, and how you can help the process of pretty much most of the things, if not everything, that you just mentioned about, you know, the preparation, the processes. How can a transition coach like yourself be integral to that process of almost starting now to plan their transition?
I liken it to putting the bricks together of a house, and you start from the foundation. So you're helping people design their future based on one brick at a time. And the most important thing to work with someone when you're operating as a career transition coach is that they have to be open to change and to explore what's possible. And one of the biggest questions here is, who am I as a person outside of when I've got my football kit on? So what drives me? So where I help them is really starting at the bottom and building up from. So what are your values? What is most important to you? We look at then, you know, what's your vision of the future? So you can take people to your 90-year-old self, and that may be quite difficult for a 17, 18, 19-year-old to think about. My God, I haven't even got to 20 yet. But actually, looking back on your life, what would you be most proud of? And really bringing a different perspective. And through our lives, we build up a whole range of belief systems through all of our environmental experiences and everything. And these can be empowering or limiting in our thinking about how we move forward. So it's about building their confidence about how they can break down that big, massive, well, if I'm not doing football, what am I going to be doing? You know, this is all I've been thinking about. So actually helping with that overwhelm about bringing that right grounding right back to you as a person and what's most important to you. So getting to that, what do you actually like and dislike? And if people really find that difficult, it's about looking at, well, what else do you do outside of football? What do young teenagers do? Well, quite a lot of them like gaming. So if we go back to gaming, what do you actually like about that? What is it that takes you to that console and puts you in that environment? What really drives you, and what do you take from that? Because then there's something that there's a real passion and drive to actually spend time doing that. So it's getting curious at each of these stages and exploring, you know, what do you love about your family? What do you like about football? What are the different components of football? And it's really breaking it down so you can piece it all back up together. I also use a DISC personality profiling, which looks at your behaviour and communication preferences. And this can really help open people's eyes about what motivates them and what their stress responses are, how they interact with other people. And we also then look at, well, resilience. That's a big word in itself as well, about how do you build your resilience to be able to deal with these peaks and troughs through life when, you know, things like the transition that are not in your control. How do you look after your own self-care and give you that balance? This goes back to that four-legged table. And how do you cultivate happiness intentionally? So, you know, we all do things that really give us meaning and purpose in life, but sometimes we just don't pay attention to actually what that is and what that gives us. So it's being really curious so we can really build that purpose that is specific to us and that brings us fulfillment. So a big part of that starting point from that career transition coaching is helping them get that dream and getting turning a dream into a goal with a date in it on it and helping them build those step by step about how they can move forward, because that can be quite an emotional roller coaster of a journey, and it really helps them unpack what their superpowers are and what really everyone has the resources within them. That's a fundamental belief. And we're also in charge of our own results. So you're in charge of your mind and therefore your results. And it's really helping people steer as I sort of walk by their side and help them move forward in the direction that they want to go to.
Wow, that's really powerful. And it's great that you mentioned that, because I think a lot of people probably think they don't have the resources within them, or they can't possibly do it, or they have to be obsessed with football, or they can't for a second think about an outside interest or something running alongside their football, because that's a sign of weakness. And it's, yeah, that's really, you know, a really good point to make that, in terms of we do all have those resources. And that links into a session we did yesterday with some of our lads of you've got to find a way. You know, we all go through struggles in life, whether it's sport, life, career, whatever it may be. It's simply about finding a way. And I suppose you found a way into being a transition coach. How did you transition into that? Is that a linear pathway with the ups and downs along your route? What's kind of your background, and what was the point where you thought, oh no, I kind of like doing this sort of thing, so therefore I'm going to transition into becoming a transition coach? What's your journey been like?
That's a good question. So sport's been a massive part of my life from the beginning. So I was a gymnast from the age of 7. I used to train 4 times a week and compete, and I stopped that when I was 15, when I was too tall, essentially. When I wrapped around the lower bar of the asymmetric bars, my hip bones would wrap around, so I had to stop that. But my driving passion from the age of 3 was horses. It's all I'd ever dreamed of, and I'd wanted to event. It was in my genes. My great grandfather was in the cavalry, so it's all part of my genetic makeup. And so I started learning to ride when I was 15, and that's driven me throughout my life and given me all of the strength and resources. So eventing is a sport where you compete alongside Olympic athletes because it's graded on the level of the horse, and it's all part of British eventing. And so obviously I didn't want to look like a numpty, so when you go out and compete, and so you put in all the hours of training and you build that self-belief up. So when I got my first horse, I was jumping really small fences, but I had this vision and this dream which drove me. It drove me through my work life as well, so that everything I did was structured around enabling me to achieve that. And everything I did in the horses similarly has enabled me to perform in the workplace, because if I can gallop into a cross country fence at 520 meters per minute without taking a pull and allow that flow and build on that trust and partnership I've got with my horse, I can do anything. And so standing up and talking to a room of people, working with directors and all levels of an organisation, I know I can do that. So I think that sport is an incredibly powerful medium to help you in all of your aspects of life. So that's what's underpinned my life. And why did I become a career transition coach? Well, so through my life, I sort of thought, OK, I'm OK with numbers. So I went down the route of becoming an accountant in the public sector. So I initially did AAT, the Association of Accounting Technicians. And then I did my chartered public finance accountant, but I don't like routine. This is what I've referred to. Get really clear about what do you like and what do you not like. So I don't like routine. So what I found was that I really liked the variety of more of a management consultancy type of environment. So landing in an area, not knowing anything and having to gear up quickly, understanding how questioning can unpack what people actually want. And this dovetails beautifully into the coaching. But all of that was how I then progressed. But the one thing about management consultancy and project management is that you don't really see the end impact of the result and the work that you've done. You never see that impact on someone's face. And so, you know, the coaching has been something that's been sitting in the background. I'm a British Horse Society assistant instructor and level 2 coach. So that's been sort of in the background. I trained as a coach when I was a gymnast, when I was in my teenage years. So coaching has always sat in the background. And I became more aware of life coaching in about 2019 when I attended a free event with the Coaching Academy. And I went there and I thought, this is amazing. This is really incredible. You can sit and you can work with someone and you can instantly see this impact in the person you're sitting opposite, and the effect, because you can calibrate that change in someone's face and how, where their shoulders and that, their whole complexion, their eyes, you can just see all of that impact. And so if I pivot my skills, because it's all about people and building those relationships, if I pivot my skills, I can start really making a difference to people's lives directly and on this one-to-one basis. And when you actually then say, well, why career transition coaching? Well, this, because of my sporting background, And when you constantly hear these stories in the papers about these sports people that have fallen off this cliff edge and have poor mental health outcomes as a result, you think, gosh, you could make such a big difference here by doing this work with people on a one-to-one basis to help really mitigate those poor mental health outcomes. And wouldn't that be amazing? So it's really bringing together my sport and that background with my skills I've developed over my time as being a management consultant, pivoting them into a coaching capacity and enabling me to work with sports people and actually those people transitioning out of the armed forces. It's that same cliff edge. So really helping them map out how they can live a life of purpose and meaning outside of that all fulfilling a sporting endeavour.
Now, you'd be the exception to the rule if you hadn't faced any challenges along that way. And I'm sure you have. What have those been? Is the, say, highlights or maybe low lights? Has there been any ones that really stand out? And kind of what kind of transition lessons did you learn along the way that you can now pass on to your clients and the athletes that you work with?
Owning horses is an enormous roller coaster, and you have more lows than you do highs. So learning to manage disappointment and having all your dreams crushed is, and seeing the challenges with your horse or if they're in pain, if they have an injury, it's just devastating. And it's how do you pick yourself up with that and deal with that? Because that's a sense of loss. You had all of these dreams. You built this enormous trust and partnership. My first horse was over 700 kilos. You know, it's a big mass. My current mare, she's a big mare. She's 650 kilos, Lily.
Wow.
And you know, they work with you. They want to work with you because you build that foundation of trust. Yeah. So how do you build yourself up from these crushing things? It's so I you know, my first horse Wallace, he had. I managed to compete in an international three-day event at what is now two-star level, which is the top end of novice. So you're jumping cross-country fences of around 3'7", and it's putting all of the dressage, show jumping, cross-country, stamina work, fit and the galloping, and jumping at speed, control and obedience. You put all that together. And then I had this amazing year in 2002 and really wanting to get to grips with intermediate level eventing and, you know, jumping those at 3'9" and added complexity and technicality. And he was amazing, Wallace. And we had this fantastic cross-country schooling session at the beginning of 2003. Got home lame the following day. And that was a career-ending injury for him at that level. Wow. And so it's you've had all of these dreams about going up to the next level, competing at that next international three-day event level, and you map out in your head this trajectory of achievement and drive that really fills you up, and then it gets taken away in a blink. And so how do you build yourself up from that? And it's about how you deal with disappointment and the loss of all of that plan and that partnership and trust, that amazing that they allow you to ride them and do the things that they love, because he was a cross-country machine. He absolutely lived for it, and so does Lily. She lives for her jumping and galloping. In between here, after I lost Wallace, which is, you know, you deal with loss of a loved horse you've built and you trust your life with them. And then my second horse, Thomas, beautiful horse, beautiful character, but I didn't gel with him in the show jumping and he completely destroyed my confidence in show jumping. And so I had to sell him because I couldn't, we just didn't have that partnership and that trust. He's gone on to a great home of in Exmoor, and he's hunting down there now, so he's doing what he loves. But it's how do you, when you completely lose your confidence, how do you build yourself back up? And here your emotional and psychological response to change is really, really important. So looking at, well, I know I did this before. And take yourself back to when you experienced a achievement before and how that made you feel in your body and how that makes you stand and behave, and taking that sense of feeling of drive and knowing you can do that and taking that forward to help you build that up in the future. So it's how you put all that together and step by step get back to where you know you can you were and you can be. If I take Lily, you know, I've had a situation with her and Sonny actually, I can take him. So through these experiences, he was not quite right in 2018. And then through dealing with injury or understanding what was the problem, he wasn't overtly lame. It was just something not quite right. And when we peeled the layers slowly off that onion with the vets, he had a hole in a ligament and loads of other associated things. So, you know, he wouldn't ever jump again. And so it was dealing then with the rehabilitation of a horse that's then had to be confined to the box rest, and then you're having to do things where they then become very difficult to handle because they become really reactive to noise outside and sounds and things outside of the stable. So dealing with that and enabling you to keep going forward, and then when I bought Lily, because I knew he wouldn't jump again, she had a really massive injury 6 months after her having her, because her foot got caught on a metal signpost that was hidden in a bank, and it pulled that foot through and completely opened up down to the bone. Wow. her back foot, and she was in a cast in the vets for 17 days and took a long time to rehabilitate. So through the highs, through those lows, you have to really appreciate those highs when you do get them and really be grateful for all of those small things that come along and really hold on to those, because you do have more disappointment and dealing with things that derail you through life and what you want to achieve, and actually getting really clear on what's most important to you about what you are actually doing, that trust, that achievement, that what you knowing that you can get back to where you were and you can perform. So you take all of those things and you take them into the workplace and into other experiences, like skiing. That's another passion. And you find, oh, actually, I'm good at balance. So actually, I can do this skiing. So it by trying things and realizing what fills you up, I'm on top of a mountain in with the snow and that beautiful scenery, it just feeds your soul. So understanding what really fills you up and gives you that purpose is what's important. So I take all of these things to support that transition journey for the people I'm working with, because it's how you can use all of everything that's gone before you to help you move forward and piece together what really drives you, so that you can move forward and regain that sense of purpose. And life isn't linear. Even when you look at these trajectories, you know, it is a spiky curve. When you're going up, it's still up and down. You still have these disappointments. I take that in the sense of setting up my business and developing a viable business. I keep putting one foot in front of the other, knowing I've got this. And you've caught your foot just one side over the line between fear and drive, and you know you've got that. So you build and use your own superpower from what you've achieved before, so that you can properly believe in yourself and say, if I did that, I can do this and I can make it work and I can take this forward. So that it's that's how I use that and take all of these different elements to say, how can these yeah, what have you done before in your life where you've achieved something that was challenging, and what were the strengths that you took from that situation? And then so when they talk about that, and how could those help you in this situation about how you move forward, it's all about drawing on what's innately within you. So, and if people say, I can't do that, well, what is it specifically about that makes you believe you can't? So it's about just bringing a different perspective and helping people bring questions from different angles to open up their mind about what's possible and how they can move forward.
Wow, I mean, it just shows, doesn't it? I think, yeah, I didn't realise how much lows they were, or how many lows they were owning a horse, and yeah, all the different ups and downs, or more downs than ups in that respect. But the fact that you've been able to take some of those very harsh lessons, and like you said, I think probably the human brain is wired probably slightly incorrectly to focus too many times on the negatives and appreciate those highs. And I think to link in with that, what you know you say you're doing there with your clients, and being able for them to identify and recognize, right, okay, at my best, or when I've been performing well, or when I've been liking certain aspects of my life, what have the reasons been, and let's try and focus on those and kind of repeat those. It's yeah, it seems so simple, but yet obviously so effective, and hence why you're so good at job. And I suppose let us focus on those highs. I know in the work that you do with athletes, you talk about you know, success quite a lot, and that's a positive thing. And you kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you kind of set a phrase of setting ourselves up for success. So yeah, give us a little bit of insight, without giving too many secrets away, of how you do that, but a little bit of an insight of how an athlete can do that, of set themselves up for success. Because a lot of the times they won't, they'll feel, oh, I've got an injury, I'm about to be released, or this club doesn't want me, or, you know, for whatever reason, we do all focus on the negatives. How can we set ourselves up for success?
Yeah, that's a really good question, isn't it? And I think I did touch on some of this a little earlier. So it's be curious. I think it's very easy to pass through life and not be curious about yourself as a person. We just do things, and we know innately what we like and don't like, but we never focus on them. So you don't make conscious decisions around those specific things. So it's being curious about what your values are, and what matters most to you in life, and taking control. So by being curious, by becoming consciously aware of what really drives you, what's most important to you, what you don't like, actually, so you can plan a path that is structured around what's most important to you, and take control, and getting a real picture then of what you like or what you don't like. You know, I could take a few things. If you sit down and say, well, what does your future look like? If we take a vision of that 90-year-old person and what they're most proud of, you know, when you look back on your life, does that mean you're a leader or a team player? Does it mean you've been working outside or inside? So in an office or with other people, or are you working from home? Do you like being on the road or in the office? Do you like variety, or do you like routine? And it's really unpacking everything. Do you like stability, or do you like change? Do you like a quiet area, or do you like quite that buzz around you? What is it specifically about football that you like? If you take and break that down into the different components of football, it's not just football, that's a big word. You've got all of your training. What do you specifically like about the training, and what don't you like? What about the nutrition? What about injury? When you go through that process of having to get through that injury, what is it? Obviously, you don't like the fact that you're injured, but what do you take from that? What do you draw from that and help you move forward? And what about the competition? So really getting clear about all of those different elements. What about your school time in school? What do you like and dislike about that? So when you do team sports or things on your own, in the classroom, at home with your family, getting really curious about that, so that what you can do to set yourself up for success is designing a life that's congruent with you and who you are as a person, and taking control of that journey.
Yeah, I mean, taking control is an obvious one, not probably necessarily an easy one. And I want to go back to a point you mentioned before about those being open to that change, because you must have dealt with this in your time. How do you support? How do you be there? How do you even start the process, or even the very first conversation with someone that you probably know aren't receptive or open for that change? Because athletes are very, very clever people. Mm. They will, you know, maybe put on a show, put on a mask, it's that identity piece, mm-hmm. and think, well, I need to be seen to be actively taking control of my transition, but really I'm just here to tick a box to say that I've tried, but you'll pick up the signs, the body language, the facial expressions, and you'll quickly pick up this person's probably not as open to change or being proactive about their transition. How do you support that? How do you even start that very first step in that process to someone who's there but probably doesn't want to be there?
It's a bit of the emu situation, isn't it? Because it's putting their head in the sand about the future, but yeah. You're not going to tell them that.
You're an emu. Label them straight away.
How do you bring their head out of the sand so that they can actually see there's a whole world out there? Yeah. So it's a really good, quite a good question, isn't it? About how do you help people move forward? If they fundamentally aren't open to change, they're not going to benefit from coaching. That's the bottom line. So how do you influence them? So the first point with any coaching conversation is it's like a chemistry call, because you've got to get on with the person that you're coaching, and they have to know, like, and trust you as a person, because that's what it's all about. But so how do you encourage them to start thinking? And it's really trying to turn it round. Is it, what is it about the future that concerns you? When you think about life beyond football and your next steps, how does that make you feel in your body? Where do you get that sense of that feeling? And it's trying to get in touch with their motivators and understand how that feeling makes them feel within their body, so that they can start influencing that and recognizing other situations where they have a different feeling. And this comes back to some of my NLP work, so the neuro-linguistic programming. So our mind and our the language we use to ourselves is, I don't need to think about that right now because I just got my focus on football. You know, that's all in the future. But it's trying to understand when in the future will it be right for you to look at this situation and try and understand and really break down what is it that stops them looking into the future? What if they could? How would that feel like? And try and bring that different perspective. But ultimately, you can't make someone do something they don't want to do. So you do have to accept that you can't help everyone necessarily, but hopefully the cumulative effect of all of the right influence around them will help them eventually realise that actually they do need to take control and really move forward.
And you mentioned going back again, I know we should always go forward maybe in transition, but I just want to make sure we cover some of the topics that I know our listeners will resonate with, really, and you're the expert in this virtual room. You talked about support network linking in with identity, and we'll come on to an identity question in a minute, but in that support network as a transition coach, are there key individuals that need to be within this support network to really proactively and be an encouragement and to really get them along that pathway of that inevitable journey through their transition? Is there key individuals you think, oh, they definitely need to be, or does it not work like that? Is it totally individualistic?
I think we're all different. That's the fundamental starting point of all this. We're all different, and we'll all have a different journey through life. So it's finding what works for each individual themselves. So each individual will have a different range of support people that they want around themselves. And what I would suggest is that actually that people need to stop and think about who do they need in their camp around who's going to help them move forward, who's got their back, and really being conscious about, do they have people around themselves that actually always take the mickey out of them whenever they're talking about what they could do instead, always driving them down and crushing their dreams. So actually, people that don't believe in their what's possible for that person, and who are naysayers, it's really limiting or eliminating those people from being around you, because actually you have the power to be anyone you want to be. And you want people in your camp as your support team that are going to help support you and drive you forward and enable you to be successful as you move through life. So the people are around you in your football club that are your trainers, the physio, whoever you speak to, your player care people, you know, it's who do you really gel with that believes in you as a person and helps you explore what's possible as you move forward. So I think it's not explicit you need X, Y, and Z in your support around a person. It's who the people are, the right people are for that person to help them move forward. And I think it's always helpful to have someone independent that is has no judgment and enables people to talk. So I'm not saying everyone needs a coach. Obviously, I'd like that, because that's my business. But there we go.
We'll edit that bit out. I'll make sure that you say everybody needs one.
But it's having someone that can provide that non-judgmental time and space to think and explore things about what's possible, rather than having people around them that crush those dreams of what's possible. I mean, if you look at all of the successful people in the world, they will have always started from somewhere, because we're all human beings, and they've had that self-belief to achieve lots of things. Take top football players, top sports players, or Richard Branson. You could take, I don't know, Cristiano Ronaldo, or anyone who's your idol, or your someone you respect and look up to. And actually, you can take that as a question. You should say, when I'm struggling to know how to move forward, what would Cristiano Ronaldo do in this situation? How do I take that next step forward? So it's about the way you think, as well as the support people around you. And it's how you have the right people to help you challenge your thinking and also structure you to move forward. That's challenging in a positive, constructive way. Not saying nothing's aren't possible, but exploring when you say things aren't possible, about how in unpacking that to help people move forward. So people really need to sit down themselves and say, who do I want in my corner that can support me and believe in me?
It's interesting, that bit, isn't it? Because I think some people, and I purposely asked the question because some players probably feel they need a set of, and they look at others, don't they, in terms of like, oh, who they got in their support network, or it's a competitive nature we work and we live in. So it's like, all right, oh, they're tapping into that person. Right, well, I'll tap into that person as well. And it's interesting, because I think you've put it so simple, and again, very effective, of just surround yourself with positive people, with people who are willing to explore, who aren't going to be Mickey taking and all the rest of it, and really want you to flourish as an individual. And I think it's probably so hard to do from within, but when you take yourself out of it, and I listen to you saying that, it is achievable. And it goes back to your point before, you know, we've all got the resources within us to do that, and we have the power and the control to choose who we surround ourselves with. And it's a massive message to get across. I suppose that links really well into my next question, and a selfish one really, from somebody who works within the academy system. You talk about surrounding yourself with people, the right people, the people who are, you know, positive and want the best for every individual. I can wholeheartedly say, these are the clubs I've worked for, that has always been the case. You know, that every member of academy staff, regardless of what role, position, title they have, they are surrounding these individuals that we're hoping, or we are developing, from a personal and a professional point of view. And what the question is you talk about softening the cliff edge and that fall. So how can we, as people within the academy system who have maybe slightly more control over how we player care, talking with my player care hat on, but obviously every other domain and department within academy football, how can we contribute to softening that cliff edge and potentially providing them with a parachute to soften that fall and that landing when it does come to their transition of leaving the academy or leaving football as a sport. What words of advice can you give us as people directly involved in athlete transition?
Well, I think from looking at your post on LinkedIn yesterday, you're already doing some of that. So that's bringing in people that have already gone through this process. So that it's visible that it's possible. So opening people's eyes and helping people take action. And it takes hearing a message many times before it really lands. You know, we do have to hear it at least 7 times. And actually, so keep drip feeding these messages and encouraging people to really explore what's most important to them and giving them these opportunities to take action so that they can build that path. I think one of the things is encouraging them to develop a vision board. So actually getting clear, because a lot of people are visual, it is the strongest sensory preference. And so actually getting a board and cutting out pictures, words, images, whatever, of what does they want their future to look like? So they've got some visual driving recognition that they can say, this is actually what I want in the future. And so that they can start being curious and developing this dream and picture. Because as I say, a goal is a dream with a date on it. So actually, how do you do that and help them understand the importance of, you know, what do you love doing? What are your passions? You know, what are your interests? What knowledge and interests do you have in life? What skills and strengths do you have? What do you like and dislike? And when you bring all this together as different component parts of building a path of what type of environment do I want to work in? What behaviours do I want around me and that I exhibit and those around me exhibit? What skills and capabilities do I need to move forward? So how could I develop and learn, possibly do some university degree or course, whatever learning that looks like? What values and beliefs do I need to have as I move forward? What do I empowering beliefs to help me move to get to where I want to be? Most importantly, who do I need to be in this next phase of life? When I take my football kit off, who am I? Who is that person underneath that football kit? And what do they want in life? What's your overall driving mission and purpose, that connection, that driving goal? So you can put all of these different component parts. And I think it does take time to say drip feed this message and encourage them to explore themselves and get curious about who they are as a person. So instead of I am a footballer, your skill and competence is football. You play football. Who is Johnny as a person rather than the football? I'm a footballer. So it's really unpacking things like that so that you're helping them to explore how they move forward and then get a design, a vision of the future built on this vision board so that they can actually see that path forward. And that can help with the motivation strategies around how they move towards where they want to be, because it's an individual journey. We're all different.
We are all different. And it's, yeah, I think individual journey doesn't really do it justice, does it? I think no two careers are the same, no two transitions are the same. It might be due to injury, it might be due to deselection, return and release, but there'll be no two individual pathways. There'll be similarities along the way, but I think that's important to get across as well. It's, we are all individuals, we are all different, and therefore your transition, your pathway, your journey will be different as well. So yeah, that's a great point. Penultimate question, really, in terms of kind of a, I feel like a bit like Alan Sugar now. This is your time to pitch for business. Obviously, you've already, the tagline is everybody needs a coach. That's the simple version. But to elaborate, for those people who listen to this and thinking, oh, I don't know, yeah, transition coach, it's not really for me. Or really, probably more so for those who are going, okay, I'm intrigued, I'm curious, but I don't know, is it for me, is it not? What would you like to say to those individuals who are kind of wavering, thinking, is it for me, or is it just that, you know, I don't really need this in my life or in my career? What would you say to those people who are potentially thinking about it, but not actually press the button to go ahead with it?
You don't have to press a button and then pay is the first answer to that. So what you need to do is a bit of try before you buy. So coaching is about a one-to-one relationship. So you have to want to work with the person that would be your coach. And also, if you don't even know whether coaching is right for you, all coaches will offer a free complimentary session. And that's part of the introduction. And what should happen as part of that process is you should experience a coaching conversation. So that the coaching is not just about whether you like, what have you done in the past, blah, blah, blah. The questions need to really give a taste of coaching, and so that person will go away having been clear about whether or not they can work with that person, whether or not actually coaching is right for them. And it's really being so exploring, because they might speak to one person and then if they don't get on with them, might say, well, coaching's not for me. Speak to a few. There are the International Coaching Federation. You can actually use these bodies. You know, the problem with coaching is it's not regulated. And so actually making sure that you're working with someone that is accredited or a member of the International Coaching Federation or the Association of Coaching. There are a few member bodies out there, but some people call themselves a coach when they because of their life experience, and that can err on the mentoring side because they're giving advice. Coaching doesn't give advice. It is a powerful questioning based approach, and it's non-directive. It's all driven from the client's agenda and what they want. So you focus on them and what they want. They drive the agenda. They direct. So from one coaching session to the next, that you coach the person in front of you. You don't assume that that same person has come into the next session and they were the same in the previous session. You coach the person that's in front of you based on what they want to work on in that session. So it's all driven by them, and they're in control of that whole relationship. So it really is exploring on coaching organization websites about what they can get from that process, looking, trying it with a few people and seeing who they could work with, and exploring books around, you know, that the coaching and trying to understand what would work for them, what curious. I mean, Simon Sinek's got a book about start with why. What is your why and what drives you? So getting, as I say, all of those things about getting curious of yourself as a person and trying it. Seeing how that could help you, really. It's been curious. That's the bottom line.
No, good pitch. You're not fired, so you've made the next day. But last question now, and I suppose it's very interrelated to the previous one, but this now is fully open to you. Last piece of advice that you want to give our listeners. It could be, you know, a message for life, sport, career. The floor is yours. Whatever you feel will kind of end this episode on the best light possible, and to be able to really kind of resonate with our listeners who will be, you know, young academy football players, young professionals who are just starting out in their career. Is there a lasting piece of advice for them?
Well, I think there are. So I had three things that I wanted to talk about. One was get the right support network around you. We've already touched on that, and get the people around you that have got your back and that are going to help you move forward and positively support you. The second one is perspective. The only inevitability is your transition. There is evidence out there that building and working on your transition while you're playing from the earliest time can actually enhance your performance on the pitch. So getting curious and looking at who do you want to be, what do you want to do, and what do you want to have in your life in the next 10 or 20 years? And you can use that as an exercise on a piece of paper. Have one column with B at the top, the middle column has do at the top, and the right hand column has have at the top. And when you start that exercise, initially you're doing it all from your conscious thought. And so the immediate things in your thinking will come forward. Take your time. Do this over a number of months, have that piece of paper or numbers of pieces of paper by your bed, wherever is easy to access, because the longer you start thinking about it, it goes into your subconscious mind and all of those things that are deep in your thoughts will start coming out. But what do I want to, who do I want to be in my life in the next 10, 20 years? What do I want to do? These could be a range of different things, travel, adventure, other sport, work related, and what do you want to have in your life? Some of those could be material, some of those could be, it could be, I want to have a life of abundance, or I want to have the people around me that matter most to me. So it could be, it's very personal, but get curious and do that vision board about a simplistic, it's just cutting out pictures of what really resonates and talks to you so that you can get that vision and that can be your motivator about that's where I'm going, that's what I really would love to do, all those things that you've never done that you might want to do, who you want to be, what you want to have, get that inner vision. So that helps you. The overarching message I want to say is be curious about who you are and what you stand for, and that will help you design the future for you that's right for you, because you're in the driving seat.
And on that note, we will end the podcast. I just really want to say thank you. I know you're extremely busy. I know you've had to kind of wedge us into your very busy schedule, which I very much appreciate, and I'm sure our listeners do too. And yeah, it's been great. I mean, I could have probably spent another half a day, never mind another hour, kind of asking you more follow-up questions, and I'm sure we'll be asking you to come on in the next season if you'll join us for more kind of words of wisdom, because I think everything that you've said has certainly resonated with me. It's not about me, it's about our listeners. I'm sure they'll have taken more than one, two, or even three, four, five things from what you just said over the last 60 minutes. So on behalf of them as well, thank you very much for your time, Lynn.
Thank you, and it'd be my pleasure to come on again. Thank you so much for having me, Lee. It's gone super quickly, actually. Can't believe how quickly it's gone, so thank you.
Wow, wow, wow. I say this three times to link beautifully with Lynn's three take-home points. And here they are. Who do you have in your support network? Who can you turn to now and in the future as you bring your transition plans into reality? I ask this with the highest level of seriousness because it is probably the most biggest frustration when players do not tap into the support network around them. So get choosing and selecting who you want in your corner, who you want joining you along your journey, and who will steer you in the right direction when needed. Perspective. We all have it. Sometimes we have the wrong one or a slightly distorted one, but we still have one. What is the worst that can happen by being receptive to change, by taking yourself outside of your comfort zone and engaging in conversations, or just listening to what others have to say? Hopefully this isn't you as you're listening to this podcast and this episode in particular. Be curious. It really is as simple as that. Be curious in what other players similar to yourself are doing. How are they planning for their transition? Be curious in what others have to offer, whether that is a person on LinkedIn, a guest speaker at an event, or a new teammate in the changing room. Open up your mind and your eyes to what is truly possible, and you will never look back. But let's look forward and on to next week when we bring you your latest helping and another interview from the locker. Thanks for listening to this week's episode, and we hope you have taken many key
messages away with you. But the next part is down to you now, by putting these into action. If you'd like today's episode, feel free to tell us on our various social media platforms, where you can find us at @thelocker_UK. For guest recommendations, future topics to be discussed, or you simply want to reach out, you can do so by emailing us on thedevelopmentlocker@gmail.co.uk. Remember to share this episode and our platform with your teammates, friends in football, or anyone you feel would benefit from it. So, what are you waiting for? But you're not done yet, as we look forward to seeing you next week when we bring you another interview from The Locker.